So it's customary at this time to wish each other what sort of new year? A happy new year. Of course, the Bible speaks of blessedness, which is the equivalent word to happiness. And we learn from the passage that we'll be exploring that happiness, blessedness, comes by believing God's promise. Blessedness comes by believing. We're looking at God's call of Abraham in this passage in Genesis. Genesis 1 to 11 is really a preface to the main part of Genesis. There are 39 chapters now that deal with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And chapters 1 to 11 are really setting the foundation for what will happen. And so we're going to explore God's call of Abraham. Notice, first of all, Abraham's family tree. That's why we read the end of chapter 11, because that sets out for us the family tree of Abraham. He is descended from Shem, along a specific line within Shem's family. Each of these people in the line, we read, they had other sons and daughters. But Abraham comes down a specific line within the family of Shem. And one thing we notice about the family is the reducing lifespan. As you go down the list, the time they live gradually reduces from Shem, who lived for 500 years, down to Nahor, who lived for 119. Shem actually outlives Abraham. That's how the lifespans reduce. If you combine those different ages and lifespans, Shem outlives Abraham. Those who know such things tell us that that's probably the effect of the genetic bottleneck that happened at the time of the flood. And so that genetic bottleneck brought about more difficulties in the gene pool, and so that affected the lifespan as the generations descended from Noah and his family. But it's interesting that Shem's longevity does not preserve true religion. Remember, this is the family of godly Shem. Back in chapter 9, where at the end of chapter 9, when Noah gets drunk and exposes himself in his tent, Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. They walked in backwards, covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away, so they did not see their father's nakedness. And as a result, in verse 26 of chapter 9, Noah said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." God actually identified himself with Shem. Godly Shem. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. But this family, during this period, degenerate into idolatry. We know that from Joshua and chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 1, Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. This is just before Joshua departs and dies. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods." Their forefathers, including Terah and Nahor, his father, were idolaters there in the land of the Chaldeans. The family not only degenerated in its lifespan, it also degenerated in its religion, from being those who worshipped the one God to being a family that worshipped idols and many gods. It was a family tree that degenerated. So there was nothing in Abraham's family tree that recommended him to God. It was a degenerating line of descent, not only in terms of their lifespan, but in terms of their religion. There was nothing in this family tree that recommended Abraham to God, that it would influence God to choose him as the one to be blessed. Abraham's family tree then, we can see clearly the decreasing lifespan, but that's indicative of a degeneration in spiritual life as well. That's Abraham's family tree. But then also at the end of the chapter, chapter 11, we have Abraham's family, more specifically his immediate family from verse 27. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. And it speaks of his brother Haran, speaks of his wife, Sarai, and so on. We're in about 2000 BC at this point in history. So we've already seen his father was an idolater, as was his grandfather. So his father, his grandfather are idolaters. His brother, Haran, dies prematurely, we might say. While his father, Terah, verse 28, was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. This is the first recorded death of a son before his father. There may have been others, undoubtedly there were, but here is the first recorded death of a son before his father, a premature death. People say you don't expect your child to die before you. Well, it does happen, and it has happened. And it happened with Abraham's brother. So his father was an idolater. His brother died prematurely. His wife, Sarai, was infertile. Verse 30, now Sarai, who's Abraham's wife, was barren. She had no children. This is what's called a tautology. A tautology is saying the same thing twice. It could have read, now Sarah was barren. We'd understand what that meant. Or it could have said, Sarah had no children. But it says twice the same thing. She was barren. She had no children. That's by way of emphasis to make the point that Sarai is infertile. And then it's a family that gets diverted from their plan and purpose. Verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. Together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but they settle instead in Haran. En route, they get diverted from their plan and purpose. We're not told at this point why Terah set out from Ur to go to Canaan. The book of Acts tells us that God had appeared to Abraham at that point in Acts chapter 7. Stephen says, to this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country, your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So Abraham receives the call in Mesopotamia, in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Terah removes with him, with Lot and Sarai, but they don't get to the land that God has called them to. They settle instead in Haran. So here is Abraham's immediate family. His father is an idolater, his brother dies prematurely, his wife is infertile, and they get diverted from their plan. It's not much of a family, is it really? There's nothing in Abraham's family to commend him to God. There's nothing in his immediate family that would recommend him to be the one that God would choose. And so we see both from Abraham's family tree and from his family that God's choice and call of Abraham was an act of grace. It was an act of grace on God's part to choose Abraham and to make the promises that he does to him. There's nothing in Abraham that commends him to God. There's nothing about Abraham that would mean that God would choose him. God's choice and call of Abraham was an act of free grace on God's part. And that's, I think, what the end of chapter 11 is setting before us and reminding us of, as it sets out Abraham's family tree, as it sets out his immediate family. There's nothing about him that would commend him to God and means that God would choose and favour him. It's an act of God's grace, God's free grace. And so that's the background that we're given to the call of Abraham. We're traced back to Shem, and his own immediate family is described for us. But then we come into chapter 12, where we discover Abraham's faith. God's call comes to him by means of a command to separate. The Lord had said to Abraham, and that's it, that can be translated in that way, referring to that earlier call in Ur of the Chaldeans. This could be a second call that comes at this point to Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham there in Haran, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. It's a summons to separation, to go from his country, to go from his native land, to go from his father's household, to leave behind all that's familiar, to leave behind all that gives security and meaning to life, to leave that all behind, to leave, to separate himself from those things, to go to the land I will show you. The land at this point is not specified, but Abraham is called to go, to leave, to separate from, and to go to the land that God will show him. It's a summons to separation, and then a promise of blessing. And what a glorious promise of blessing it is. It's a sevenfold promise of blessing. And to those knowledgeable in numbers in scripture, number seven is the one of completeness. Here is complete blessing for Abraham. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. Here are blessings personally for Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Remember, that was part of the reason that the people at the beginning of chapter 11 in Genesis had built the city and tower of Babel, that we may make a name for ourselves. God frustrates their plan, but he has a plan of grace, that he will make Abraham's name great. So there are the blessings personally for Abraham, and then there are blessings relatively that come through Abraham. And so at the end of verse 2, you will be a blessing. Not only will Abraham be blessed, he will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So here is a rich promise of blessing, and the word blessing occurs five times in this great promise. counteraction to the five curses that are mentioned up to this point in the book of Genesis. There are five curses that are pronounced in Genesis up to this point. Here is five blessings that God sends. It's against that backdrop of the curse that is deserved. Here is a blessing promised graciously and freely from God. And this promise comes against the backdrop, as we've seen, of 11 verse 30. Sarai was barren, she had no children. And yet God says, I will make you into a great nation. So here is an exercise of faith on Abraham's part. Naturally speaking, Abraham would sink into obscurity. He's got no offspring. He would sink into obscurity. His name would vanish off the page of history with no offspring to continue his line. His wife is barren. The promise, you see, is a promise of supernatural intervention. For this promise to be fulfilled, there must be supernatural activity on God's part for Abraham. And so this promise is made. Abraham, as we've seen, has done nothing to deserve it, nothing to earn it, nothing to merit it in his family tree, in his own family. It is a free act of God's grace to promise blessing upon blessing, blessing for Abraham and blessing through Abraham to others. And it becomes clear that Abraham understands that this promise is a promise of God's blessing through the one that he would send through Abraham's family. And so in Genesis, in John chapter 8, Jesus can say to the Jews that Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Abraham begins, from this outset, I'm sure, begins to understand that God's promise of blessing, it's a supernatural promise that will find fulfillment in one who descends from Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. The Lord Jesus Christ, son of Abraham, son of David. So Abraham obeys, verse 4. Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Abraham goes trusting in the, what we might call, the naked word of God. He's got nothing else to go on here apart from God's promise. In fact, the evidence seems to point in the other direction. His wife is barren. How can these promises be fulfilled? Abraham goes trusting in God's naked word. He believes the blessings will come to pass because God has said it. Blessing comes by believing, despite evidence to the contrary. In the context of his wife's barrenness, and that's brought out again later in verses 6 and 7. Abraham comes to the land and travels through it as far as the site of the great tree of Morah in Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So the promise now to give him this land comes in the context of the fact that the Canaanites are dwelling there. Did you see that? At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, and it's then that God says, I will give you this land. Abraham believes, even when, despite evidence to the contrary. So here is the call of Abraham by God in grace, and promising blessing freely and graciously to Abraham and through Abraham to all peoples on earth. A promise that's fulfilled gloriously in the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings God's blessing not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And so Paul, when he writes in Galatians, refers to this event in Galatians chapter 3. He said, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. That's the announcement of the gospel to Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3 and verse 9. Those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Blessing comes by believing. And that's the great salvation plan that God unfolds now. It begins here with this promise to Abraham. It's going to be unfolded down through the generations of Abraham's family. And it's the promise that blessing comes by believing. And it's set out at the outset of God's great plan. So will we do what Abraham did? Take God at his word. Will you take God at his word and believe what God has said, because God has said it, whatever the evidence to the contrary might be? God has said it, therefore it must be, and I will rely on it. I will step out in faith and walk by faith, not by sight. Specifically, do you believe his promise in Christ Jesus? God has promised every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here is the richness of God's blessing in Christ Jesus. How do we receive that blessing? How do we make that blessing ours? The blessing of forgiveness of our sin, of a clean conscience before God. The blessing of adoption into God's family. The blessing of eternal life, so that death is not the end. How are these blessings made ours? By believing. By believing in God's word of promise. By trusting that what God has said is true. And I can rely on it totally and fully and completely. That's what Abraham does. And he is the man of faith. And as we unfold the story of Abraham, we're going to see his faith tested and tried. And at times it fails, and yet here Abraham left as the Lord had told him. He trusted God, he believed God, and therefore he obeyed God's call to separation. And God's call to us comes as a call to separation, to leave the world, to leave our sin, to come out and be separate, but to trust in his promise. Not that we are just like Abraham, we are not deserving, we don't merit his promise, we don't earn it. It's God's free promise in Christ Jesus that comes to us. Will we take God at his word? Abraham does. And God's blessing comes to him as he believes in God. I will make you a great nation. A nation that still exists today, 4,000 years later. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. Let us pray. Our God, as we begin a new year, we thank you that we begin a new year with the God of blessing. Lord, thank you that you bring blessing to those who are undeserving. Lord, those who have no call upon your blessing. Lord, we thank you that you bless freely and graciously. Lord, we thank you that your promise of blessing is for those who believe, who simply believe. Lord, help us to take you at your word. Lord, to take your promise of salvation in Christ Jesus and to rely totally and wholly and only on your promise in Christ. Lord, may we each and all do that, Lord, so that we can know that blessing that is ours through him. And help us, Lord, as we go into this new year, to walk by faith and not by sight, to rely on you in every situation and every day, for you are a God of blessing. Lord, we thank you then for the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of blessing. Lord, we pray that we, by faith, will know that blessedness that you promise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close as we sing 199, The God of Abraham Praise.